The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 2003.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today I'm back with the guys here again. Yes, it's me and the boys in the Briggs basement. Let me introduce them to you. To my right, from the Department of Mathematics, as well as the Director of Math Education, Professor Jeff Boats.
Howdy.
Howdy, Jeff. How you doing?
All right.
Good. And sitting next to Jeff on that side of the table from the College of Engineering and Science and the director of its pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, the Dapset Man Maggio.
Hi, Kath.
Hey, and Dan, you got something exciting coming up pretty soon, don't ya?
Yes, we have our annual technology, or Tech Day.
Tech Day. How many schools are going to be participating this year?
I think I'm up to 20.
Wow.
That's normal.
We'll see lots of yellow school buses
lots
that day
kids,
and a lot.
Uh-huh. Roaming the campus. And DAPSEP starts next Saturday.
Oh,
so
my
if you're coming to work, don't.
Oh, wait a minute. I love those kids. Are you going to be directing traffic again?
Oh, no, I love the kids. Don't get me wrong, but 1,000 cars coming on campus at one time is ahead.
Too true.
Am I directing traffic? No, I gave up.
Okay. Good man, Dan.
My solution, stay inside for 15 minutes and then walk outside and it's all gone.
There you go.
Very simple.
So what kind of things will be happening at Tech Day?
Mr. Mile will be doing the chem show.
All right.
I went to school for a long time.
Dan, I prefer... No, I'm just
kidding. Matt.
Matt will be doing the chemical magic show.
We'll be having many competitions in Callahan.
Excellent.
It's a lot of fun. Stop by.
Challenge 24 booth, which is a little mathematical interlude.
Oh, excellent.
Cool. And from that, I will have t-shirts, which we can mail out to the losers.
Yes, those
the
Tech Day shirts are a hot and popular item. Now, sitting next to Dan, a man who knows a lot about technology when it's connected to the media, it's Professor Jerry Kritzinger.
Only a little thimbleful.
A thimbleful.
Yes,
that's okay.
A little bit, yeah.
Jerry, you are a magic man with duct tape. I know that.
I just put
and that's
some,
technical
I put some
to me.
Gaff tape to tape an envelope on my door. So
there
I
you
put
go.
Some student papers in there. The early drafts that are about 75% short of what it should be, but that's
oh,
okay.
Oh, well, they're getting there. They're getting there.
It's the worth the red pen's for.
That's exactly right.
Sorry, self-esteem.
Oh, no, I don't. Do you grade with red?
Yes, I do.
I grade with green.
Yes, so do I.
With green or red?
Green.
Oh, yeah. Catherine Kerher, that was one of her gifts to me, the famous green pen.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what they tell you at Wayne is to use anything but... But it's easier to find red. And
there you
and
go.
It's cheaper than green.
And I want them to know how much danger they're in.
That's exactly right. It looks, yes. And now sitting on the far side of the table from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry and also obviously a participant in Tech Day, mm-hmm. It's Professor Matt Mayo.
Hi, Kathy.
So
my nurses last year made me change to red. I started out purple, and they're like, we don't see where the marks are. And so I said, well,
whoa.
I'll go to red then. I've done red ever since.
My goodness.
What about this Twin Cities cap here?
All right, well, win it's, twins, man.
All
at least
right,
Yankees
yeah.
go down. That's
I mean, I thank you. Death to the Yankees. Yes. Matt is so on there. My Bo Sox, again, they're just choking big time. The curse of the Bambino has them entirely. I don't know what
well,
it
Dylan
is.
Dylan and I had the fantasy, the salary caps team in fantasy baseball at the Northville Library.
Oh, yeah.
And we won. We had like A.J. Pruszynski. We had
all right.
Terry Hunter.
Yeah. There you go.
We had all these Minnesota Twins players, and
dude,
we smoked by like 25 games.
This is the year for the Twins. I am hoping the Twins go all the way. Yep.
It'd be nice if it was Sox Cubs, but
yeah,
it ain't gonna happen.
Not gonna happen. No. But I definitely want New York out.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
You know,
unanimous.
Take that Yankee pinstripe back to the dry cleaner,
George.
Honey.
You and your $180 million payroll can
really,
try again,
dude. You cannot own the game. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions on technology. You can send us questions on baseball. You can send us any kind of question. And we left off last time starting a set of questions. From Lars Bowles.
The God box is speaking to us.
Okay.
God has spoken and he said.
Yeah, that's it.
No, don't laugh. I mean, we call it the voice of God for a reason. I mean, you'd put it up in the booth, like in a sporting event, when the announcers are not on headset, no one's paying attention, the director will just say something and then they'll...
Oh, okay, voice of God, definitely. Well, these are questions from Lars Bowles, who, as we know, is the husband of the fabulous Barb Bowles, our executive producer. And they're questions called the quiz for people who know everything. And outside of rhubarb, so far we've been doing really well. And we are doubtful, actually, about that rhubarb thing. So we're going to be checking that out. Okay. Name the only sport in which the ball is always in possession of the team on defense, and the offensive team can score without even touching the ball.
It's a very good time of year to be talking about this
Absolutely.
Sport. Baseball.
It is, exactly. It is baseball.
Very good
that should
to me.
Never be changed. I mean, it's bad enough they did the designated
hitter thing.
That's horrible.
That sucks. Horrible.
But when I hear people say they want to shorten baseball from 9 innings, that makes me want to reach for a weapon.
Why don't they shorten the number of games? Why do they play 162 games? What is the point?
Well, look at how many teams there are
now. I know
what
the point
now.
Is. It's to make more money. Well,
because the best teams in the history of baseball lost a third of their games that year. It takes that many for them to sort out.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's not the
then
money.
Why don't they play 162 football games?
I'm sorry?
Then why not play 162
I think it's more.
Well, they used
know.
To play 154 games.
Yeah.
And now they play 162 games. So.
Or why not it's, 162 hockey games?
It's a good question. I think the NFL leaves its fans always wanting more at the
Absolutely,
end of the season.
Absolutely, they do.
And I think baseball's just milking it for money.
Baseball's not a very brutal sport, though.
Well, the ratings in television, though, are low.
No, but the
ratings are down. I mean,
in Detroit?
Baseball, yeah.
2.5 is the average baseball rating on Fox in Detroit. And then when it's on over the air on UPN, it was like 3.5. That was just in the Free Press about a week ago.
Wow, that is
so it's very difficult for them to make a lot of money on, you know, baseball. I mean, like, who watches the pregame? My son won't watch pregame anything. And in between periods, he will go watch SpongeBob or something.
Just struck me funny is that that's a lot of games. I understand mathematically why you would want to go that far, but...
Yeah.
Okay, now certainly Jerry and I grew up in Detroit.
It's
and
a national
Matt, you're outside of Detroit. Were you a Tiger fan growing up?
I was. 84. That's okay. I was in the fourth grade.
35-5.
That was an awesome, awesome year. But since then, obviously, it was 87, and that's it.
Yeah.
So. I'd love to see 80 football games a year, but you'd have to expand the rosters to have 100 people on.
I was going
to
say, how big a team
to rotate them through.
Game.
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh,
I played as a kid. My knees are still bad.
Oh. Yep. You know? Now, growing up in New York State, who did you cheer for baseball?
Huh?
Who did you cheer for, or did you follow baseball?
I was
up?
A Mets fan.
Mets fan. Good man. Okay.
And then the Blue Jays.
Okay. Dan?
Sure.
You're not a big baseball fan. I know that.
No. My family, being from Erie, they picked Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But they're Browns fans. And,
oh, for football.
But Pirates
okay.
fan. That's but baseball. Yeah. And Buffalo, we never bothered with.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh, all right. What fruit has its seeds on the outside?
I'm not falling for this one.
Strawberries.
Rhubarb.
Matt's got it. It is the strawberry. It makes me think of Daryl Strawberry connecting baseball and.
What's he doing
I
now?
Know.
Did he pass away?
Yeah, poor Daryl.
Did he pass away?
No.
Drug rehab?
Well, he's been so in and out of drug rehab.
He's like this repeating motif in Bad Lieutenant.
You know, he's in rehab. He's got stuff on him in rehab. It's like, dude, not good, not smart. And what a talent he was. That hurts.
And he was.
Yes, and he was, yeah. In many liquor stores, you can buy a pear brandy with the real pear inside the bottle. The pear is whole and ripe, and the bottle is genuine. It has not been cut in any way. So how did the pear get inside the bottle?
They dehydrated it, put it in, and then...
No.
So do they actually put the flower in the bottle and let the fruit grow
That's
inside?
That's exactly right. It's this marvelous French liqueur.
Really?
It's really,
Hardcore.
Really tasty.
That is hard. But how does it grow without any dirt?
Well, okay, the bottles are placed over the pear buds when they're little.
Oh, they put the bottle over it. So there's a tree in France somewhere with lots of bottles.
Yeah, and they wire them onto the tree.
Really? Fascinating.
And they're left there for like the whole growing season. And when they're ripe, they snip them off like at the stem. And
I never would have thought
of that. And ferment that. But it is a truly wonderful liqueur. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't want to think about that anymore. Okay. There are only three words in the standard English language that begin with the letters D-W.
Dweeb.
Whoa!
Dr. Dwarkus.
Dwell.
Dwell is one, absolutely. Yes.
Dwarf.
Dwelling.
Well, just dwell.
Dope.
And
dwarf.
Dwarf, dwell, and one more.
And really,
dwindle.
Dwindle, absolutely.
Very good.
Wait a minute. The other night I got willy dwunk. And Willy wasn't happy about it.
They think that could count for being.
But willing. I want to. Dweeb should be there. Has that been.
No, has Dweeb been recognized like in the OED?
Sure
maybe
sure
by the Scrabble Dictionary.
Maybe by the Scrabble Dictionary.
I bet NASCAR dads will be in the dictionary this year.
Though. There are some new words in the Scrabble Dictionary this year. Muggle.
Of course.
What's another
That's what
one?
Louis Armstrong referred to marijuana as, muggles.
Oh. Is that from Harry Potter?
Harry Potter, Harry Potter, yeah. Yeah. There's another Harry Potter word in there, too. I can't remember what it is right now.
Is that Quidditch, is it?
Let's see. Bada bing, bada boom is now official word.
Oh, no.
That's in the Oxford Dictionary.
Oh, my God. The OED.
That's disturbing.
Wow.
It can be written as one word or two.
All right, Jeff.
Okay.
All right, there are 14 punctuation marks in the English language.
Can I do this like Victor Borga would?
Only if we can roll in a piano. There we go. Okay. So can you name those punctuation...
Okay. Who's keeping track?
Okay, I am. I'm keeping track. Right.
Period.
Exclamation.
Okay, period is great. Yeah, exclamation
question
point.
Question mark.
Colon.
Yes, question mark.
Semicolon.
Semicolon, yep.
Comma.
Period. Comma.
Front quotes.
We've already
quotes.
Got period.
Single quote, double quote.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute.
Apostrophe.
Okay, question mark or quotation marks, they just have that singularly.
Parentheses.
Parentheses, yes.
Brackets.
Brackets,
curly
yes.
Brackets.
Hyphen.
Hyphen, thank you.
Dash.
Dash.
Underscore.
No, sadly, that's not listed here.
The orthothorpe.
Octothorpe.
The octothorpe.
Slash octothorpe.
This is this is the same name as a name that used to be given to suspenders in, but an older term for suspenders.
Slash?
Braces.
Braces, exactly.
Oh, braces.
And then there's one more that sounds very mathematical.
That's what, ellipse?
Yes.
The ellipses.
The ellipses. Yeah. Okay, you guys, you rule.
That's what you meant by curly brackets, the braces.
Oh, that's yes. It. Okay.
So I was not a real technical term.
That's in math, we call them curly brackets.
Bras and kets, right? Isn't that the German?
Yes.
All right. I thought
that
was my PCAM.
No.
I remember from calculus.
I remember from quantum, yeah.
There you go. What are the lakes that are referred to in the name Los Angeles Lakers?
Oh, the Minnesota Lakes.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Minneapolis Lakes.
That's where they came from, George Mikan.
That's, yes.
And actually, they have over 20,000 lakes.
Really?
Yes.
And we have over 10,000 in the state of Michigan as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes, that was originally the Minneapolis Lakers before they
moved
to
LA. Wasn't
it
like Minneapolis, that there's these three huge lakes where all these expensive homes, isn't that? I wonder if there's a park like that where
you can't
afford to live there. You
know? Right.
So you have to live in the suburbs because you can't afford to live in the city. You
know? There actually are Detroit Lakes in Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's a big group of lakes called Detroit Lakes for some reason.
Cool.
There's a strait there, I'm sure.
Cool. Here we go. Oh, and while we think about cool, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1995.
Our next little bit of questions comes from Dirt Man.
Oh, dead Dirt Man.
Not again.
From Kindy, Michigan. Oh. Yes.
Is this someone new?
Oh, no.
Well, but Dirt Man's been around.
You know Dirt Man.
Aren't we going to Kindy, one of our road trips?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
There's good bowling.
Is that where it is?
Six
I didn't know that.
It's a great
Where's
place.
Kindy?
Here,
thumb.
Dan, it's in the thumb.
Of Indiana?
All of us carry the map of the state around with us on our bodies.
Right. Massachusetts is supposed to be doable, too. You just put your hand into these weird contortions.
Oh, is that?
This is Massachusetts.
George is making a threatening, perhaps obscene gesture.
Well, Dirt Man wants to know.
How do you say Cape Cod in Italian?
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October 2003. We're pleased to bring you these classic Ask the Professor shows throughout the summer months, and want to remind you that the current panel of professors returns in September. Now, let's return to this classic edition of Ask the Professor from October 2003.
And we're back with questions from Lars Bowles of Berkeley or Huntington Woods, Michigan.
No, wait a minute. Is it Pleasant Ridge.
Pleasant Ridge, Michigan, yes.
They're also close together.
Pleasant Ridge. They're all there, sort of, yes, kind of thing. And you guys are really doing so well. I'm so impressed with your knowledge of punctuation. Bless you all. That is so great. You got all 14.
Period, point blank.
You got to know it or they take away the red pen, don't they?
That's right. There you go. Okay.
We put an exclamation point on that.
There are seven ways a baseball player can legally reach first base without getting a hit.
Where's Roy?
Catcher's interference.
You got hit?
So let's see. Yeah,
hit by a pitch.
Okay,
walk.
All right. Hold there's on. Better hit by a pitch, a walk. Okay.
Catcher's interference, though.
Yes, catcher's interference.
Strike out and the catcher drops the third strike.
That's right. Catcher drops the third strike.
What
you're,
about a hit?
Ruined.
Just a general error?
Yeah, like a pass ball error.
Fielder's choice.
What's the question there without getting a hit?
Without getting a hit. Oh.
Fielder's choice.
Fielder's
choice would be another. Yeah.
You're missing one.
But isn't that a hit?
Sometimes it's scored as a hit.
Oh, yeah, technically, scored. I think you can actually be balked to first because if a pitcher balks with nobody on base, it's a ball.
Yeah, but if there's somebody on base, then doesn't the runner
then
advance.
The runners go.
Wow. And there's one more, and this is really and because it's so obvious, I would not have thought about it.
Well, I think if you hit the ball and you hit the runner's out, and you get first base.
That's true. Yep.
That is true. That's the rule. But this one is being designated as a pitch runner.
Oh yeah.
Of course. Which of course you wouldn't be at bat. You wouldn't get the hit, but you get the run.
We found more than seven.
I was going to say you know more than everything so far. That is so excellent.
Did I ever tell you the story about my last official at bat?
No.
My last official at bat, I struck out and made it to third because it was a 1-2 count. Pitcher threw a knuckleball 10 feet outside. I deliberately swung and took off for first. They never would have got me at first, but they threw the ball anyway, went over the first baseman's head. The right fielder wasn't backing up because he never was completely surprised, and by the time I was at third.
There you go.
I dare you to find anybody else who ever did that in their last at-bat, or at all.
Well, now wait a minute. I'll recount the story. I was watching the great Earl Wilson in the 60s.
Oh,
yes. For the Tigers.
Great player.
Earl, this is before the Metrodome. He's playing Minnesota at the old park. He strikes out on a pitch mile away from him. It goes to the backstop, and Earl takes off. Mm-hmm. The same thing like happens to you. They throw the ball, it goes out in the right center, and Earl keeps going. They throw to third, they miss him at third. He heads for home, and they barely got him.
He almost
got a home run on a strikeout, basically.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they got him at the plate.
Oh, that
it was like about 1965
cool
or something.
Watch.
Well, I'll be somebody else. How about that?
You and Earl Wilson, you are in great company.
I know.
Man.
Strikeout and an error.
Wow. Earl well, he had a strikeout and two errors. Earl, at least use Earl as a pinch hitter sometimes.
If
he made contact, look out.
Hey, we're back to vegetables and fruit again.
Rhubarb.
I take two.
It's the only vegetable or fruit that is never sold frozen, canned, processed, cooked, or in any other form but fresh.
Banana.
No.
I think I've seen canned bananas before.
I challenge you to find any of those.
Banana cabbage? Chips.
Oh, banana chips. Yeah, well, that's a
those
tragedy.
Are gross.
Very close to cabbage.
Yeah, it is.
Lettuce?
Lettuce. Yeah.
Oh, iceberg lettuce. No, you can find it cut up and processed now in those.
Well, but it's not.
It's always fresh, though.
It's fresh, though. I mean, it's not frozen or canned. Canned.
Well, if you ate it, I don't call it fresh. But
yeah, it kind of has that
preserved
kind of taste to it. Yeah, right. Plastic bag taste.
But I would actually have to say bananas, too.
Banana chips.
But
what were your choices? Frozen, canned?
Okay, frozen, sold frozen, canned, processed. Cooked, in any other form but fresh.
Sorry, my bad.
That's okay. Name six or more things that you can wear on your feet that begin with the letter S.
Socks.
Shoes.
Sandals.
Uh-huh.
Slippers.
Yes, very nice. Think sport.
Spikes.
Yes, there you go.
Skis.
That's
skis.
It, downhill,
oh,
yeah.
Skates.
Skates, yes.
I
think
suck
of the
at
Yukon.
Snowshoes.
That's right. And think of a movie with Sid Charisse and Fred Astaire. Silk?
Stockings.
Stockings. Yes. One more. The term for running shoes.
Sandal?
Sneakers.
Sneakers. Yes.
Sandals.
I don't think they don't say sneakers anymore.
They do not.
I think that's kind of outdated.
Oh, when you spend like $200 on them.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Hey, guess what, Lars? You lose. These people knew not just everything, they knew more than everything, but still Lars should get.
Those are good questions.
Send some more
questions.
Yes. Love open-ended questions.
Outstanding.
I'll have to ask Barb what kind of shirt would Lars prefer, but I don't think that Lars would be fussy. Something would tell me that Barb would not let him be. And our next set of questions comes from the one, the only, the man himself, Bert.
Do we have the theme music?
Okay.
I think there's a version of Dueling Tubas, which
that's
I think would be
we have
perfect.
To find
I gotta
that.
Find it.
There you go. He said, here again is another set of questions for you all. You think I might get bored doing it? You might think I've got carpal tunnel syndrome? No. He said, it beats the days of writing them with pencil. So 7 out of 10 is passing.
Oh, cool. Okay. 70%.
There you go. Excellent. Yay. The math, you did it. Yay.
The denominator of 10.
Yeah, we throw the little ones back to Matt.
That's right. Okay.
You didn't see me piping up the answer.
Okay. This English band is credited as the pioneer of art rock, and they produced hits in the late 60s and early 70s with, like, Days of Future Past with songs like Nights
Moody
in White
Blues.
Satin. Yes. Moody Blues. Name that. Can you name the members of the Moody Blues?
Oh, man.
Well, Denny Lane was one of the singers.
Yes. Denny Lane. Yep.
Denny Lane.
No way.
No.
Okay. The others are Mike Pinder, Ray Thomas, Graham Edge, and James Hayward. Hmm. Of the Moody Blues.
Once upon a time.
Yes, they provided lots of prom music for the 70s.
It was horrible because we were like the Osborne Knights.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be the, like, we had to vote for the school song when we graduated. And I voted for Hendrick Don't Free.
Didn't win the Knights in White Satin,
of course.
Oh,
gag me.
Yeah.
You can't slow dance to Stone.
So what?
I mean, I can't think of the group. I remember my friend Sue Harmon writing on the she did the ballots for the senior song, and she put down "May We Never Pass This Way Again" versus "We May Never Pass This Way Again," and it just kind of slipped past everybody in the administration.
During the announcements at the first hour, they would have like Led Zeppelin playing in the background.
Excellent.
And in sociology class, Mr. Ford would let us play Frank Zappa records during exams.
Oh, gosh,
and
I just can't imagine Sister Mary
really
David
cool.
letting that happen.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen
public
in our
school. And, of course, that's why Dan Dillon doesn't go to public school.
There we go. Okay. Ooh, turning to football, which Jeff is very excited to hear.
Yes.
The huddle was first started so that the quarterback could relay plays to his offensive teammates that came from the sideline without giving them away to the defense.
True.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad that.
I thought that was the question.
Okay.
All right.
A university that accepts physically impaired people was the first to start using the huddle because hand signals had to be shown to the offense as opposed to the normal play. What is the name of that university?
Oh, I don't know the name of the university, it's Deaf.
It is Gallaudet in Washington, D.C.
Way to go, Dan.
Dan, you're the man, and you always say you don't know anything about football.
Okay.
No, that is an absolutely marvelous school, Gallaudet.
Didn't they, I think the marching band of that school for a while, I don't know if they're allowed to do this anymore, but they would have tons and tons of big bass drums. And because they were using hand signals in the huddles for the plays, they would just pound on the drums whenever both teams were in the huddles. That way the other team couldn't communicate.
Oh, that's excellent. That is so great.
You just direct the drum so it's facing right at the huddles.
It is. It's a killer school, and they've got a great program there. This disorder is often caused by factor V Leiden and prothrombin mutations. It often causes pregnant women to suffer miscarriages and causes many who suffer from it to have strokes or heart attacks. What is the name of this blood clotting disorder, which is the opposite of hemophilia, meaning that it causes the blood to clot at an abnormally high rate?
Hmm.
Well, you know the last part is going to be philia, okay, right? Because it's a condition. So, go back to your Latin roots.
Latin for what?
Quadrophenia.
Out of my brain.
No, we already did the art rock question.
Well, you've also heard about, they mentioned cardiac disorders when somebody has a coronary
embolism?
Not an embolism, but next to an embolism.
Thrombosis?
That's it. So
thrombophilia.
Thrombophilia. Excellent. I knew logically you guys would get it. Mm-hmm. This Democrat from Alabama was probably known more for his demeanor than his politics. He was in Cuba suffering from tuberculosis on his inauguration day, and he died shortly after, serving as vice president for only 6 weeks. That made him the only bachelor vice president and the only one to be sworn into office outside of the country. Who was this running mate to President Franklin Pierce?
Wow.
And I know that goes back. Where's Roy? Roy's in England.
Get him on the telly.
Yeah.
A cell phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, cell phone this bad boy.
I think I'll lose this one.
Yeah,
because it's hard to give a clue about this guy. He's kind of just one of those obscure early American. It was William Rufus Devane King. So I was trying to think,
Devane King,
William Devane, but
yeah,
the Rufus and the King part
Devane Right
The backup
Kings.
For Chaka Khan, had an album that was Rufusized. Yeah, that would not have worked really, really well that way.
Tell me something good.
Oh, yeah. She was on that last Motown, though.
Yeah, she was at the Jazz Festival. That was their day one, and she didn't sound quite like... the range isn't there anymore. All of these singers have bulked up, and not like I haven't, but geez, look like Chaka and Stereo up there.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone's... it was interesting.
Yeah. Well,
they've kind of sold out though. They're trying to get attendance, and they've gone like mainstream acts, Roberta Flack, and
this is the Ford International Jazz Festival, which we have here in Detroit on our riverfront each Labor Day weekend.
Yes, it's really good time.
Yeah,
and it's free,
and they've lost the Montreux side of it. It used to be Ford Detroit Montreux, which I
well, you
know,
you
cool.
lose $500,000 every year. I mean, there's a certain point where
true,
it's kind of like our hydroplane race.
That's another great Detroit tradition, the hydroplane. Okay.
The Gold Cup.
Yes.
Miss Bud,
yes. You think NASCAR dads might gravitate to that, don't you? I will give you some names of cities, and you give the name of the river that these cities are on the banks of.
The river runs through it.
There we go. It's, you know, Bert's very pastoral in his Alabama home. All right. Well, the city of Budapest, Belgrade, and Vienna.
The Danube?
That's right, the beautiful Danube. Delhi, Agra, Saharanpur, and Allahabad.
Ganges?
No, and I would have immediately said the same thing.
Major river in India?
Yeah, major river in India.
You can think of another major river in India.
Does it have a very short name?
It begins with a Y.
Not the Yangtze, that's in China.
That's in China, Dan got the first syllable,
Yalo.
it's the Yamuna River.
Oh, no.
Yamuna.
Struck out swinging.
Okay, really. On the banks of the lovely Yamuna. Cairo, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Mongahela?
No, and I would have said that,
Ohio?
Too.
Pittsburgh.
It's the Ohio River. Yeah, there you go.
And Cairo, he starts off to throw us off,
Low at the ends and high in the middle.
Pittsburgh is on the Ohio River.
Well, because the Ohio River comes to meet at that point, remember?
The Allegheny and the Monongahela.
Yeah, at the Golden Triangle, isn't it?
Three Rivers Stadium.
I was going to say Europe.
But I didn't think the Ohio swung over. Okay, maybe
Southern border.
Yeah, it's the southern part, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I saw that bad movie with Bruce Willis and Sarah Jessica Parker and the river policeman.
Striking Distance.
Striking Distance.
Terrible film.
Yeah. Well, you're a Carnegie Mellon guy, so I was going to say.
Down at the point all the time. Sure.
All the time at the point. There you go. And now our question for the panel from Bert. As a kid, what was your worst family vacation? Oh, we are going to have to leave this reminiscence. Oh, for a whole week you get to stew and see your analyst and stuff. Let me thank our panel. Professor Mayo.
See you later.
Professor Kurtzinger.
Always a wonderful time.
Professor Meggio.
Thank you.
And Professor Boats.
We're going on vacation.
Indeed.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Today, Ask the Professor was produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Barbara Bowles. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's win some games, Wings!
And we're back next week with another classic edition of Ask the Professor, so please plan to join us.